Good morning. Today is Wednesday, June the 10th. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County 5th District Supervisor Steve Madrone. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, everybody out there in Radio Land.
So how foggy is it where you are?
Fog? We don't have fog. You got fog?
Yeah, the tops of the trees have got it. Yeah, good. We're in that, what do they call it? A summertime pattern.
Yes, I'm in the Trinidad Heights sun window.
Fine. Rub that one in.
Trinidad Heights. How's that? Or we could call it Trinhaven.
Well, just don't get sunburned. Okay, Winston, why do we say it?
Okay. Red tape. Where did government delay get the name red tape?
Boy. Red tape. Okay, it's probably not a safety tape, because that came in too late.
Red means stop.
Yeah.
Hold it all up. Stop.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is, like a stop sign.
Yeah.
Nowhere close.
Okay, fine.
It comes from England, where for centuries the British government had followed the custom of tying up official papers with red tape. The everlasting tying and untying, which bound the dispatch and document cases, led men to pick it as the symbol of useless delay. The present British red tape is actually pink.
Wow. Interesting. Okay, well, at least it has government as its essence.
Yes.
And everybody's...
We never have red tape around here.
No. You have pink tape.
Yeah, that's right. Pink, green, blue.
Yeah. No kidding. Well, let's talk a little bit about the incorporation of McKinleyville. I know it's something that has been... Shoot, I think I probably talked about how come and why not going back to... Anna Sparks and Sarah Parsons. It's just, it kind of seems like it would be logical. And then when the costs are explained, then you kind of go, well, okay, now I understand why not. And particularly now with the way the state has things set up with sales tax being the driver. Okay, it's tough for a bedroom community to have a lot of sales tax when there's not a lot of retail. So with that kind of as a backdrop, Steve, What were you guys and gals looking at yesterday, and where is it in this process of revisiting that topic?
Yeah. No, it is a very timely topic. I believe it's probably on the front page of the Times Standard this morning. It's definitely been a discussion in the community. It's a perennial discussion, seems to come back about every 5 or 10 years. And folks in the community often ask the questions, why not? What happened? How come we never incorporated? For those that thought McKinleyville is a city, it is not. It is part of the unincorporated area of Humboldt County. And in fact, the general McKinleyville area has a population that equals and at times exceeds the population of Arcata. So by all estimates, it's the second largest non-city, I guess, in the county. So what is this all about? Well, you talked about, once the data is brought together, it looks too expensive. The fact is, it's never been collected. We have the revenue data. That's quite easy to collect. Property taxes, sales tax shares, that kind of stuff is actually quite readily available based on zip code and things like that. But what is not available is the expenses. How much money does the county spend in McKinleyville on policing, the sheriff's department, on roads, and on planning? Those are the three primary departments that if the community were to incorporate, it would probably take on those responsibilities, although it could continue to contract with the sheriff and with the county for planning and things like that. So cities do all kinds of things. They have many different types of combinations of how they go about managing all of their affairs and all of their services. So what happened yesterday is an item that I brought forth when I first took office over a year ago, and my board asked me to go out and do some homework, find out if the community was generally supportive of tracking the data, as a first step. Can we get the data on how much the county is spending, combine that with the revenue data, and then have an informed discussion with the community on what that data looks like? And if we're in the ballpark, if it looks like, maybe the community could incorporate, then we would do a far more detailed feasibility analysis and begin the LAFCO process, the Local Agency Formation Commission process, for incorporation. But just to be clear, ultimately it will be a decision made by the community, not by me or the board. It would ultimately, if it looks viable after detailed study, it would come before the voters of McKinleyville to determine if they wanted to be a city or not.
Well, now, when we talk about annexation, Steve, I kind of put this in that same corner of the room, is that it has to be revenue neutral also to the county.
That's right.
So that would have to be part of this as well. Now, by revenue, is that just the gross or is that the net financial impact?
Well, in short form, what it means is that if a new city is created out of what is currently county unincorporated lands, that the county needs to be made whole in regards to any ongoing costs that the county might have to run that community. So it doesn't mean the county gets to keep it all. It means there's a negotiation between the new city and the county as to who's going to provide what services, and the revenues associated with those services would go with that that entity. Now, it is absolutely true that since revenue neutrality laws came into place back in 2000 or so, 20 years ago, that it has been very difficult for new cities to incorporate. And so there have been various bills going through the legislature in the past that gave new cities a share of the vehicle license fees. And there were 7 cities in the last 20 years that were going to go bankrupt, but 6 of them survived by getting those extra revenue sources. One of them did go bankrupt. I believe it was Visalia. And so it's not easy, and there are new bills going through the legislature to give new cities a share of the vehicle license fees, which would definitely help them to be able to incorporate. So it's a negotiation.
With the cost of, like, the law enforcement, you were referencing the sheriff. I know with Blue Lake in the past, Trinidad in the past, those have been additional contracted.
That's right.
Arrangements. That was packed into this. Would law enforcement be included in this, or is that a separate, we set that aside and deal with it later on?
Well, the new city would have the choice of developing their own police force or contracting with the sheriff.
Right.
And as you pointed out, both Blue Lake and Trinidad actually to this day do still contract with the sheriff's department for services. So
it's possible. Yeah, it is possible. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. So
it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are Easy Radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy Radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Steve Madrone. Steve, before the break, we were talking a little bit about some of the different challenges that there might be for incorporation, either at the state level or at the local level. One of the questions, in addition to the cost, you know, how much would it cost, or I guess the nice way to say it is, how much is the value of the services received currently? When you look at the potential for the next 5 to 10 years. Okay, if the community is growing, that could be good, that could be bad. So how do you start to make that determination so when you present it to the citizenry that they at least have an idea instead of saying, yeah, I want to have a city hall, or no, things are doing okay, and they just go back to the basics?
Right, right. Well, you know, the good news is that McKinleyville has really turned into a city, and the community service district has 4 different authorities that they use: sewer, water, streetlights, and parks and recreation. And they are an award-winning service district. They very much are like they're running a city, but just aren't covering some of the other pieces like sheriff, roads, and planning. And so, you know, the good news is that the community has already really become a city on some levels. And 20 years ago was the last time anybody did a detailed analysis of the potential for McKinleyville to be incorporated. And back then, there was a large study done with the Chamber of Commerce and the Humboldt State Economics Department, and they pulled together the data they had. And again, they did not have really good expense data. They had good revenue data, but not good expense data. But even at that time, 20 years ago, it looked doable. But nobody wanted to spend the 50 grand to take it to the next level. And so what we know is that in that 20 years, McKinleyville has absolutely moved beyond being just a bedroom community, which is what everybody says. It has added numerous car dealerships, and you know, you look at the development along Central Avenue, and it's major in the last 20 years. All of those are new revenue sources. And so based on that, it certainly is viable to take a close look at the financial information. With that, we can have that informed discussion with the community about whether or not they want to proceed with doing the detailed analysis and moving forward. And in that work, there would be community discussions about, you know, does the community want to take on policing, roads, planning, or do they want to continue to contract? What are the boundaries? Would it require raising taxes? Yes or no? If it did, what would those services go to? You know, what we've seen with Measure Z and Measure O and other taxes is that when people can see a direct benefit from taxing themselves, whether it's, you know, police services or roads or other things, they tend to support those things where they see that direct benefit. But nobody knows whether there need to be taxes or not. We're not there now. We're just trying to get the data, have that informed discussion, which has never really occurred.
Now, one of the things that the community does have is it's part of the fire district.
Yes.
Okay. And they tried to do the...
Measure R.
And it didn't quite happen.
Close.
Got close, but didn't happen for the second or third time around. Is that... Because they are in that district, would that require them to take a look, see at their bylaws also, and to reconfigure things, or is that just kind of a separate issue entirely and really wouldn't come into effect? I would suspect that there's a relationship because now with their financial straits, the McKinleyville station isn't necessarily, or the headquarters isn't necessarily open all the time.
Yeah, well, that's a great question, and it absolutely ties into all of this. And so I met with the chief of the Arcata McKinleyville Fire District, Justin McDonald, and we talked about this, and I do have a letter from him that basically said, this was before Measure R, it basically said that as long as the McKinleyville station stayed tied in with the Arcata station, it was one district, Arcata-McKinleyville, that everything would be fine. If McKinleyville tried to create its own fire district, obviously the cost would go through the roof and it would not be so viable. Then you add to this the whole Measure R stuff, which most folks believe that the district is, well, they're saying that they're looking at trying to bring something back in November. And they're trying to figure out exactly how to help that become more successful. Part of it is helping people understand that it is a McKinleyville-Arcata district, not just Arcata, you know. And, you know, folks need to understand that there is a tremendous amount of medical services and other things that these fire districts provide to us these days, along with fire and the rest of it. And, you know, we're going to pay one way or another as a community. Either we, you know, belly up and pay a reasonable fee for a reasonable cost coverage for the district to protect us, or we're going to pay via our fire insurance going through the roof or not even available. There are many people who have lost their fire insurance. And so without good fire departments, your ratings go up, the availability of insurance goes down, and the cost goes up. So, you know, you pay one way or another, and I frankly believe paying proactively up front to have them there, it's an incredible department of people. That's what makes sense for me. But hopefully we'll see that come back in November in a way that garnishes that 66.7%, you know, to
now,
get over the top.
The geographic area for McKinleyville, is it going to stretch out? Is it pretty well defined? Is it the community services district? Is it a little bit different? What is going to be the survey area?
Well, the survey area for the expenses will be the McKinleyville Community Service District boundaries, which do not include Fieldbrook or Glendale. It doesn't even really include the ranches along the Mad River on the south end, for the most part. They're separated out. And on the north end, up towards Clam Beach, it currently doesn't necessarily include everything up that way. There's a Patrick's Creek Community Service District, a very small district right. there on the hill right. there at Patrick's Creek above Clam Beach. But, you know, I think it generally covers those areas that people would
anticipate.
Yeah, anticipate that this is McKinleyville. Right?
It's 8:30. Hi, this is Brian Papstein. This afternoon, Humboldt County Health Officer Teresa Fankovic is having a press conference and will be announcing the formalization of our current practices, formerly referenced as shelter in place. What does this mean? How does it impact you? Find out as we will be talking with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel this afternoon. Stay tuned here in the 4 o'clock hour. You'll be able to hear that interview in its entirety, and we'll have it on our website later this afternoon. Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Steve Madrone. Steve, the other thing that seems to be out there on the plate right now, or at least on the fifth district burner on our little oven, is what the folks at the rancheria are trying to put together or are being challenged now about putting together with their hotel. I know that there's a lot of things that you have to bob and weave to get through into that, but what was the upshot of yesterday's developments?
Well, let's see. Yesterday, or in the last several days, the rancheria has made a request to the Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District to start discussions again about possibly extending a water line from McKinleyville to the rancheria. This is something that's been discussed many times in the larger community around West Haven, Trinidad. And in general, having lived here 47 years, it is my observation that the majority of the people in this area do not want the water line because of the potential for it to be a growth-inducing element for the community. And most people would prefer to live sustainably, so to speak, within the water sources that we have, which is primarily Lupenholz Creek and two creeks in West Haven. So it's local water supplies, springs, stream diversions, wells, and of course the city and the West Haven Service District have their withdrawals. And that's what the community has lived with, but we all realize that climate is changing. Rain doesn't necessarily come the same way it used to, but it does still come. And so we're looking as a community to increase our water resiliency through more storage of rainwater in the winter, via hard tank storage, as well as in-the-ground pond storage, as well as maybe the city looking at tapping upslope springs to create small hydro and run, create energy for running the plant, reduce chemical use, staff time, and other things, because spring tapping way upslope with gravity flow is a much cleaner system. So we're,
I'm looking, just kind of big picture, okay? So the diversion is there out of the Mad River already to the pulp mills that aren't using it right now.
That's correct.
Okay. So it's coming out of the Mad anyway. Fair enough. But you look at Trinidad, having a whole bunch of stuff up on the hillsides and tapping wells in all over the place, and then you have an earthquake, and now you don't have anything, but you have the infrastructure built up versus extending a water line, and I would think that the land use concerns, isn't that already kind of taken care of with the either general plan, with the housing elements and some of those other aspects that pretty much limit, you're not going to have an awful lot of development there just because you can't.
Well, you're right about zoning and general plan stuff controlling development, but you can go online on the internet and Google growth-inducing elements of extension of water lines. So when you extend water lines and sewer services, one and or both, it is well documented that it creates a growth-inducing element. And once you have additional water, unlimited water from the Mad River available, suddenly zoning, general plans, and things like that start changing, because the ability to develop a particular parcel increases once you have water available. And so what
is growth defined as bad?
No, growth is defined as growth. You know,
right.
But each community has the right to speak up and say how they would like the future of their community to look like. And in general, in this area, people have been wanting to do slow growth, planned growth, not unlimited, accelerated growth that happens from extending a water line. You know, that prospect of extending that line will be millions and millions of dollars and years, if not a decade or more, of planning in the coastal zone, Caltrans, private properties, et cetera. And you have to look at the cumulative impact of doing that. So if you provide additional water, then the cost of maintaining and operating that system is so great that typically a community then grows in order to keep the monthly water rates, sewer rates lower. You know, and so then you grow up to the maximum the system allows, then you expand it again. And that it creates this revolving door of expanded growth that is basically beyond the sustainability of the small local area we live in.
Is the concern with this, Steve, that Trinidad would grow or that the surrounds would start to fill in? Because, you know, I would think Trinidad would want to have a sustainable water, but maybe not necessarily have more neighbors, so to speak.
Yeah, well, the growth can happen in all of those areas. And what the current Trinidad City Council and in general the community over the decades has said is that what they want to focus on is increasing their reliability of their current water supply. You know, the rain falls from the air, from the sky for free. And in California, we actually have the right to collect that rainwater. In Colorado, you cannot collect rainwater. It's owned by somebody else. The entire state is an appropriated rights state, whereas in California, we have riparian rights and appropriated rights. And so you can collect rainwater. And so what most folks are saying is that let's do better at collecting that rainwater. Let's be more conservative with our use of the water. Let's store more water and create better resiliency and sustainability that way, and grow in a way that makes sense based on the local environment's ability to support that.
So it's not about the hotel then or the development on the rancheria. It's more about growth off of that property.
Well, it's both those things. I mean, yes, it's generally growth all over the community, but in regards to the rancheria, most people I talk with say that they could absolutely support a smaller two-story or so hotel that was what the rancheria originally rolled out 12 years ago at the charrette they had with the community, where they rolled out their master plans for the interchange, the hotel, and other things. And at that point, it was a two-story rustic hotel, and most of the community can support that. And we would find a way as a community to store more water, make more water available to do reasonable development. So we're trying to encourage the rancheria to go back to that original proposal and encourage them to work with the community to do that. It's not that people are opposed to development there. It's the kind of development and the size of development that occurs.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back talking shop this morning with Steve Madrone. Steve, as you look at this initial situation with the rancheria, I think, you know, if you talk to, I think, most folks, at least the folks I travel with, the fact that we don't have a hotel on the water in Humboldt County, except for, you know, some of the larger ones and houses in Shelter Cove, really is kind of a point of frustration for the traveler as well as for the locals. this project seemed to fit that bill and also maybe expose Redwood National Park a little bit more so that we could maybe get some more tourist revenues coming into the area. When you weigh the economic part versus some of the concerns that you expressed in the last segment, how do those equate? Are they apples and oranges, or are they related?
Yeah, well, in our community, I haven't heard anybody that says we want to have no growth. Nobody that I've talked to supports that. What we're talking about is sustainable growth, doing things that fit within the community. And so, as I said earlier in the last segment, people in this community fully support, for the most part, a two-story or so rustic hotel, you know, the kinds you'll see often on reservations that are very beautifully done, fit the environment, rustic type of situation, and that we could probably find the water to make something like that happen and work with the Rancheria's partners to do that. But to do a 5 or 6 story hotel on the bluff the way it was laid out is too much for the community on many levels, including traffic impacts and other things. And, you know, the full build-out of the master plan also has the potential to pull a lot of revenues away from the city of Trinidad, which is the smallest city in the county and struggles with maintaining its services as well. So
Steve,
there are a lot of big issues.
I've heard that argument just kind of made as a statement but not followed up. You know, if there was more traffic and the casino doesn't have the gas, so the gas station, which I think is the number one retail in the community, would certainly benefit from that. The restaurants would benefit from that. How does having more tourists in the city negatively economically impact the community?
Well, if you look at the full-blown master plan for the Rancheria, it includes a gas station.
Okay.
And Rancheria gas stations have cheaper gas.
Sure. Yeah, so we see that in some of the other locations here in the county.
Right. So, you know, the Chevron won't just suddenly close its doors, but a significant amount of that revenue may shift over to the Rancheria gas station. And they're talking a mini mart, a large RV park, and other things. And, you know, you're right that if there's increased numbers in the town, that could equate to increased revenues, but most of the people that live in town already feel quite overwhelmed in the summertime with the existing level of people coming and going. And so, you know, there's a lot of consideration here for the community to think about. And again, if we can find a way to do things that are at a reasonable level, I think most people will support that. You know, and that's what we're trying to do as a community, is have those discussions. What's reasonable? And how do we support that for the Rancheria as well as for the community? Lots to consider for certain.
Does the Rancheria have a voice in it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, they're part of the community, and they've been a great partner on many projects. It's just that this push from the Hyatt to do this very large, out-of-place development doesn't really fit the community's, you know, vision for itself or protection of the bluffs. And it's just too much, you know. So people are saying, let's tone it down, and we could support something that is more reasonable.
Is part and parcel of that the interchange off of 101, or continuing to use the road that's moving left, right, up, down as an access road?
Scenic Drive is falling into the sea, and we desperately need to put, you know, millions of dollars into Scenic Drive and protecting that, because it is something that is a gem and a jewel for the entire community. And clearly it is one of the pieces of the economic engine that draws tourism to our area. The interchange does nothing to deal with Scenic Drive. The proposed full cloverleaf interchange just a mile south of the current Trinidad interchange really only would provide benefit to the Rancheria. And they have used their own money to get the project to the point where they actually selected a preferred alternative, which is the full cloverleaf, and now they were able to get a $750,000 public dollar grant from HCOG, Humboldt County Association of Governments.